together, and you want to minister to us today. And Lord, the truth is that sometimes we're filled with different things, emotions, feelings, blind spots, characteristics that we have misunderstood most of our lives. And we stand before you with what we believe are sincere hearts, but they're plugged up with the garbage and the accumulation of flesh. And we sometimes don't even know what to repent of. Lord Jesus, today I ask that you'd help each one of us to repent of those hidden things in our own behavior, the hidden things in our character, the hidden things that maybe Satan himself or the demons themselves have deceived us about, and we've lived under our own condemnation, our own self-judgment. We, Lord, have behaved in ways that instead of allowing the healing to come in, we've made excuses for and justified because of the wickedness of other people, because of the inconsistencies of the way they treat us. Today, Lord, we gather together to repent. Lord Jesus, you who search my heart, you who know my deepest thoughts, go in and clean out what you have to clean out. Bring to my remembrance those things that need to be dealt with. Purify by the sheer power of your grace and your spirit those parts of my life that you just need to go in and heal. Make me vulnerable today, Lord. Make me open to all that you have to do in my life. You are not only the healer, but you're the surgeon. You not only have to cut it out, but it has to be removed so you can put in its place a wholeness and a life back where it belongs. And so I pray that with my brothers and sisters today. I ask that our repentance would be real, and we would understand that we come to you, O Lord, and it's your kindness that allows us to repent. Your ability to see us in the middle of our inconsistencies, our foolishness, and our self-deceptions, and love us like you do. Come and bless your people in this place today, Lord. Come and fill us with grace. Let your forgiveness and wholeness permeate every part of our life. We pray this in your name, Jesus, and God's people say, amen. Please be seated. Can you handle being switched up on? I'm going to give you a new text. Holy Spirit does this once in a while. You've got to get used to this. It's in Colossians chapter 3. Right. And I want you to read, let's see here, from here, 15 through to 17. That's all you got to read.
Okay.
All right, 15 to 17.
I think we have the same Bible.
Yeah, we're same Bible.
Okay. All right. Today's reading is from the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3.
It's not their fault. I did this.
We're going to start at verse 15 through 17. That's Colossians 3, starting at verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Here ends the reading.
I'd like to invite the kids to come down. If you practice the song, I want you to get up here. If you didn't practice, you get to stay in the chair. Yeah, all of them coming up. Good. Come on up. There we go. Make a little room here. Wiggle around a little more. Spread down. Got the whole thing to move on. Good. Let her in. There we go. One more. There we go. You're hearing your children's sermon today. Here we go. Thank you, guys. That was wonderful. And that is a perfect children's sermon for the big people. Okay, you really did it, and it was really wonderful. Because it tells us not to build our lives on the sand. Because sand just washes away, right? You ever worked by a lake or something and built a little sand castle and the wave comes and disintegrates, right? What does it tell you? What does your song tell you build your life on? Yes, the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Very good. That's the message of the sermon. It's so simple. You guys got it already. And you taught it to us. You taught us, don't build your life on the sand. Build it on the rock so it stands strong and it doesn't fall over. And the rock is?
Jesus.
Okay. Yeah, well, Jesus, you got it. The Lord Jesus Christ. Very good. That's wonderful. And I thank you for doing that because your song was wonderful and your message was wonderful and you did it with signs and everything. That was just great. So I got a treat for you to say thank you. Here you go. I hope these are okay. They're all the same. And if you don't like them, I'm sorry. They're Go-Gurts.
I love them.
Oh! Make sure you get back there before you open them. You're welcome, honey. Just one. Just mommy says one. Atta girl. Just one. Man, she gives me those eyes. You can take two. Okay, you can take one for dad. I'm sorry. How do you say no to that? Good luck. I mean, I can't stand them when they get older. My goodness, when they're that age, you can't. My goodness, anyway. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. With gratefulness, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It's an end of a very long section in the book of Colossians, and it's an excellent section. It starts way back in chapter 2, where it talks about that in baptism you're buried with Christ, crucified with Christ, and raised with Christ. And eventually it tells you how to live your life in chapter 3, and comes to this very end point, which is this last thought that was read to you, which is, let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, to be grateful, thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach, admonish, that's encourage one another with all wisdom as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Now that attitude doesn't just happen. That's a byproduct of the presence of God and what God has done with you and for you. I shared the thought that in the context of Scripture, there is this second birth, born again, that takes place that we need to constantly be aware of when we live in that new birth that is brought about by baptism, the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the working that God accomplishes in our lives through each of those things. That new life brings with it attitudes, emotions, feelings, and behaviors. And we have this ability to live in one or the other. Some of you have either been bored or privileged to my dog bird story. Depending upon your mood and whether you were sitting in confirmation class having to be doing it and teaching it yourself back to me. In my dog bird story, I begin to explain that in the beginning we were like birds. We could move, function, live in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and we just would fly and do things that were just unbelievably exciting. But as a result of sin, we become dogs. And dogs are imperfect. They have to walk on four legs. They got to walk on the ground. They have to swim across water and oceans and streams and climb mountains and climb down and up sides of deep valleys and everything else like that. When God gets a hold of your life, however he does that, there is this process where the old passes away, the dog part of our personality and life and behavior, and the new comes, the bird part. And then I draw, and I do this all on the board for the kids and people who haven't seen it before, but I draw then this picture of the new creature I am in Christ. I put sometimes a cross on the breast of the bird, and I go, I am a new creature in Jesus Christ. If you would have told me yesterday, I want you to fly across the river, I would have said, you're crazy. It's impossible for me to do. But now that I have been born again and you speak to me, I want you to fly across the river, I simply have to learn to put out my wings and let the power of the Holy Spirit do with me what I'm now designed to do. I was designed to sin over here, and I did it well. Any of you not? Any of you need some more help on sinning? You all manage fine, right? You notice this part of your personality still likes to hang around, right? All right. That's the dog side. That walk on four legs, have to deal with every good thing and bad thing and just the flesh and whatever that particular life has. But over here, God now is addressing. He says, you guys, you're not dogs anymore. You have become new creatures in Jesus Christ. There is this gifting that I've given you. The very things you think are impossible become absolutely comfortable for you. Jump off this cliff. Ah, dog jumps off, it dies. Bird jumps off, it just spreads its wings and goes, hey, cool. Totally different life. This verse is the culmination of Paul writing the account of the dog-bird story in proper biblical language. It is all about the fact that we have been called. And listen to the last phrase in the last verse again. And whatever you do, whether in word or in behavior, deed, okay, I want you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus with gratefulness, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Well, I can't be thankful. I get sick. You want to hear what this side sounds like? Man, this sucks. God, why do you let me get sick? This is just, my back hurts, my knee hurts, I can't. And right? I come on this side and I can start setting my eyes, putting my wings out, looking at the Lord, saying, Lord, everything I am is in your hands. I don't know what you're going to do with it today, but give me the strength to deal with the pain, and more importantly, use me today, Lord. Whatever you want for me today. You understand? The new creature is not like the old creature. The trouble is, just like I put out in my dog and bird story, the person who is born again sometimes wants to live over in this old man, old personality, old behavior, old characteristics. Why? I like complaining. Do you? Do any of you like being sarcastic? I've noticed that in myself. I've outgrown it in 20 years, maybe. Right? You figure it out. Worrying is what I do. I do it really well. I worry about everything. And I lose my temper really well. And, right? Well, why would you do those things? Well, the answer is I'm comfortable with them. I'm familiar with them. It makes my husband do what I want him to do. It gets my wife's button gear. It works with my kids. I don't even bother to say, Holy Spirit, would you be interested in this kind of discipline? Or you think maybe I could talk to my wife or my husband with a new tone in my voice or behavior? I just do it. The challenge, though, is God has not invited you to live on that side of your life. The challenge is you have been challenged, encouraged, begged, thought through. Don't set your mind on the things of the earth. Don't set your mind on this stuff, because you will say and do and behave in ways that are destructive to your marriages, hurtful to your families, destructive to you as a parent, a wife, a husband, a son, a daughter, whatever your role is, rather than being this bird, this character who is born again and made new in Christ, you will find yourself biting and snapping and nipping and complaining because life is so hard. Can you imagine? Let's go climb the Rockies. I spread my wings and I just go, and the up currents just take me right up the mountain. And here you are dogging it up, right? And I go, what are you so upset about? A bad tragedy enters our lives, like a huge valley, a pit. I put it down there. And I go, here's a bad tragedy, the death of a... And I go, you know, you got to go all the way down into the depths of despair and all the way down to that pit, come all the way back up and claw your way the whole distance as that dog. And the bird just puts out its wings and it says, God, you have been in control of everything in our life. My first breath is as known to you as my last one. And you live with a different heart and a different attitude. Until finally you understand, when God comes and says something like this to you, I want you to know that in whatever you do, whether it's in word and deed, I want you to do it all in the name of Jesus. I'm going to yell at you in the name of Jesus. That gets tougher. Because guess what? Jesus loves this man. And guess what? Jesus changes my heart. I just say his name and I find this hesitation in my mouth. You understand? There is a characteristic that happens when the Spirit of God begins to run my life, take over my life, and I'm putting out my wings. I'm operating with a totally different life experience. I look at life and people and circumstances different. We still have to go through them. Loved ones still die. Sickness still comes. Disease and all the other things happen. But in the difference is, this one, it's step-by-step anger, pain, disappointment, frustration, bitterness, jealousy, rage, everything else. On this side, well, don't listen to me. Turn in your Bibles backwards a few chapters or verses. Excuse me, we're still in chapter 3 of Colossians. I'm going to start at verse 5 with you. Put to death, therefore, chapter 3, verse 5, Colossians, whatever belongs to your dog nature, your sinful earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, immorality, greed and idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming on you. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. Goes on. But now you must get rid, throw aside of these things, of all such things as these, such as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy, unbelievably garbage talk coming out of your mouth. Don't lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. See that phrase, in the image of its creator? In my little diagram, I start way over with Adam and Eve, remember? And I put them out there as birds living in the perfect relationship with God. Sin comes, they become dogs. And then I say, when you are restored and born again, you become this new creature, restored to an intimacy with God, restored to a closeness with God that God has always longed to have with you all your life. He wants you here, living in the power of His Spirit, living covered by His mercy and grace, living in the joy of His presence rather than the garbage that's listed over there. And you hear Paul's list, anger, malice, rage, and all the stuff that's associated with it. Then he goes on, verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, dearly loved, this is all the bird characteristics, dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect peace, perfect unity. That's his dog-bird story. He didn't know it. And I didn't know it till I studied this over again. But it's what it is. How are you living your life? When you get done, are you doing all to the glory of God? You know, you can open up the Bible and read the Bible and be in the flesh with your dog attitude. You know, what are you going to say to me today? Last time I opened this book, I got real upset. I hate studying this. I got to do this because I'm a part of a Bible study. And I know, and pastor just said, if I don't have my Bible, I shouldn't be in this church. And I go, what? You can be sitting over there with your Bible in your hand, getting absolutely nothing, living totally covered and immersed in the dog behavior, the old sinful nature, the wickedness, and the complaining, and all the things we're capable of. Sitting in church, oh, I hate this hymn. Ever done that one? Oh, listen, it's too slow. Oh, I hate that. No, don't even sing. Yeah, I'm in church sinning like crazy because the song was too slow or too fast. What are they clapping for? Who claps during a sermon or a song? All right? We've got all these things. Yeah. We're capable of living in this side in the most loving conditions, in the most kind conditions, in the most worshipful conditions. We can bring our flesh to church every Sunday and live in it. And you can go back home with just as much garbage as you came. There's been no spiritual change. There's been no wind under your wings, as they say. There has been nothing that you've received because I wanted to live in this nature, and I took my wings, if I'm born again, and I slammed them tight against me, and I'm crawling on the ground because I like it down here. And you begin to go, what's Paul's point? Why would you live like that? Why would you behave like that? Why would you let that nature rule your life? That has been dealt with at the cross. That has been crucified by the power of God in Christ. You have been given the precious Holy Spirit so that you can live in a totally different emotion, attitude, behavior. How is it that you people can go through such difficulty and still smile? Oh, am I smiling? I didn't notice. It's because the Spirit of God ministers to you in the pain and the suffering. You ever seen the eagle, or even around here we have more hawks than eagles, I think, but they just kind of sit up there and you just watch them. Once you understand the physics of a bird, you just watch them. They're kind of circling over some parking lot where the asphalt's hot and the waves are going up above. Just watch them just circling up there. I remember the one sermon I came to church and I said, it was just a horrible, blustery day. It like sleeting, hailing, but in fall, you know, the early nasty ones that can really be. And I mean, it was, the car is shaking from one side to the other, that kind of wind. And I said, I didn't see anybody outside, but a whole flock of seagulls. Do you remember that? I saw the seagulls up there and they're just going, ha, this is a blast. What are they doing? They were just spreading their wings. They didn't even move. Where are we going to go? This is good. I like this. You could tell they were having a blast. Right. And I go, the difference is not what the weather brought. The difference is how you receive what's coming. You've got to understand, what's Paul's point? His point here is that he really is telling us, I want you to let the peace of Christ govern, rule, take dictatorship if necessary over your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be grateful. The word thankful actually in the Greek means grateful. Not just thankful, but the same. I like the two words put together there. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And why? Because we need to teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in our hearts toward God. Oh, God, thank you for the wind. It's beautiful. I can go wherever I want. I don't have to move a muscle. Well, what's it take? Well, if I'm fighting with a car down on the planet, I'd have to become a bird. Yeah, that's all right. You got the right idea. I become a bird. You mean I can drive in on a blustery, snowy day and celebrate? Yes. I can come in with any number of attitudes. I asked the question in Bible study, and by the way, we're studying a lot of interesting things in there. Please come. It's good for teenagers, by the way, too, so I'm inviting all the high school kids. Please come. And it's good for you in there, too. But I told him, I said, you know, you got to understand, how many of you came today hoping to do something good for somebody else? Anyone come with that attitude? Isn't that interesting? I'm driving to church, and here's this guy I was listening to, you know, like I listen to preachers all the time. It's the best business in the world. I can listen to all these experts tell me how the good stuff. And I'm going, he goes, you want to find out how many people actually come to church looking forward to what they can do for other people? And I don't think a lot of people raise their hands. You know, someone going to say hi to you today? Someone going to notice you put on a nice dress? Is someone going to notice and ask, do they really mean it? You know, and you sit there waiting for someone to notice you, say hi to you, talk to you, react to you, care about you, and you spend the whole day going, you know, I sat here the whole time and no one even came and talked to me. Right? Here's the Holy Spirit going, and did you talk to the 12 people I wanted you to talk to? No, Lord. I was capable of being in church in my flesh and my dog behavior, in my old sinful nature, attitudes and behaviors that stink, sitting there complaining and judging and being harsh about what they did, what they didn't do, rather than saying, thank you, God, for 100 different things. Can you imagine what kind of church we would become if everybody came asking the question, give me 5 people to make a difference in their life today? I don't care if it's just, I heard about you did this, well done. Good job, I heard on your presentation and playing and violin. She had to play for a graduation. Ah, you mean I could actually do that for someone? Yes. Does it matter if no one said that to me? No. Why? Because I'm being carried by the Holy Spirit. My wings are out. I don't need anything else. And the stronger the wind blows, the more fun I'm going to have. Why? Because I've understood the physics of an eagle. I've understood the physics of a bird, like, you know, sailing on the wind. I understand why the weather is not going to impact on them. They are going to respond and live in the power of, here it comes, who they are in nature and who we are in Christ. I am a new creature in Christ. This is Paul telling you what to focus on. This is Paul telling you, get your wings spread. This is Paul telling you, don't walk over here anymore. This kills, this gives life, this brings judgment and wrath, this brings mercy, grace, and power. Why would you live over here? Live here. That's God's message to us. How to live it out. The wise man, kids, help me. Wise man built his upon the rock. And the rock we learned was, what's this mean? The Lord? Very good. Thank you, kids. Let's pray. Lord, what a wonderful gift. You minister, Lord, at levels we can't comprehend, and you can speak more truth into a 2, 3, 4, 5-year-old than maybe some of us who are much older. Lord God, you've given us an opportunity to build our lives on the rock or to build them on the sand. It's not all that complicated to live in the flesh. And sometimes, Lord, we just choose to stay there. Lord, help every word and every action that comes out of our lives or into our minds be governed by the authority of you and your word. Let your will be done in our lives. We pray it by your grace and your mercy, Lord. God's people say, amen. Amen.